son and saying, son, go get to church and bring her home. They've had enough. And sin is spreading like wildfire. And just when you thought that it couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, is where we'll be reading at this morning while you pray for us for a few minutes of time today, that God would just take his word and season it with the Holy Spirit, and that it would go out and bless you and help us today to increase our faith and to understand exactly where we fit in to the body of Christ. Because there is only one body. Amen. Only one body. And that body has many different members. And every member is important. So he says in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, starting at the 12th verse, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now as they many members, and now as now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the honors members rejoice with it." And stop reading there in the 26th verse today. And I'd like to bring to you a message. Every member is important. Every member. Just like the body in our reading today, there's not a one part of our body that can look to another and say, I am more needed than you are. There's not one part of our body that can look to another and say, you're unnecessary. Or as you gave the scripture, what if our body was just one big eye? Or one big ear? We'd look kind of funny, first of all. And secondly, we wouldn't be able to do much. You see, we can't say to our left hand, I don't need you because I have my right hand. Nor can we say to our right hand, I don't need you because I've got my left hand. Nor can we say to our legs or feet, I have no need of you, because I have my arms and my hands, and vice versa. There's not a part of our body, no matter how small it may seem, that we don't need. Many years ago, in a message, I brought out, probably when we look at it, one of the most useless parts of our body is these things that we get around our nails, which we call cuticles. But even they're necessary to keep the germs from entering into our body. If you have a cut it too close, it hurts. It lets you know you cut it too close. And even as we go along, when there is something wrong with one part of our body, the whole body feels the pain. Whether it be something in our foot or something in our hand, or even to bring it closer home, when there is something going on upstairs, it affects the whole body. Our mental health affects our physical health. And our spiritual health affects our mental and our physical health. Because when we're not right with God, nothing is right. Amen? We need a body that is working in unity, that every part realizes how important the other part is. I don't take for granted one part of the body of Christ and say we can do without that part. Nor do I think that one of us is more important than anybody else. They say, well, the preachers, they're important. The preachers can't preach if there's not a congregation. Nor can the preachers preach if the Spirit of God doesn't show up in the house. When we look at our lives are made up of many different members that represent one body. One body. It's no different than in society, that in the workplace, if you've ever worked on an assembly line, if one person misses their function or their job, it affects everybody downstream. If any of us misses our part, our responsibility in the house of God and to God, it affects the whole church. We all suffer. He said if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. Yesterday, I was helping Roger do some work, and we was cutting wood and handling some wood, and every once in a while through my glove, a splinter, little bitty splinter would come. And it affected my whole body because of that little bitty splinter. How many of you have ever had a splinter? They hurt. And you can't function until you get rid of that part that is hurting you. I gave you that example because it was just in just a very small, in fact, I could hardly see it. It was so small, but it let my whole body know that there was pain. And I had to fix it before the whole body just shut down. And you say, what do you mean by it would shut down? I'd have to take a break and go find some tweezers or something to get that out so I could go back to work. When we look at organizations in our world today, it takes everyone in the company in order to survive and be successful, from the CEO all the way down to the lowest person in the organization. And they say, well, we really don't need that person. You ever been in a place that didn't have a janitor? It wasn't too good. And I'm not saying that they're the lowest, but I'm giving you an example that the CEO has a job, and also every person in between has a job. And if one of them don't do it, it affects the whole organization. Not only in our churches and in our home or in our work life, but in our homes today. There's not one of us in the house that can look at somebody else and say, I am more important or more needed than what you are. How many of us today will confess that without a husband or a dad and mom in the house is not complete? It takes mom and dad. In their biblical sense, it takes a man and a woman in order for the house to work together, to be successful. One can't do it alone. Can I get an amen from you men this morning? And from you women, can I get an amen? It takes all of us working together that we might have the home that God wants us to have. And just like churches, there is no perfect home. There's times that the home is in upheaval. But I will preach this till the day God takes me home. Give me a home that has God at the center of it, and that home will be successful regardless of what hell and the devil brings against it. When we leave out God, we're leaving out the most important part in a home or in a relationship. You cannot survive without God in as a member of your family. And not just a member, but God needs to be the head of the family, as He is the head of the church. Without God, we have no church. And without God, you have no home. You might have a house that you and your loved ones live in, but you don't have a home. You're just going through the practice of a home. You're just putting forth an example when God wants you to have the real home. You say, is your home life perfect because you have God? No, every day we have to work at it. How many of you got tempers this morning? I'm going to preach today. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll cause a disturbance in the home because of our temper. Well, what we ought to do is just walk away or bite our tongue. I find the older I get, the more I talk to myself. And I talk to God quite a bit. And a lot of it is, Lord, help me. Just because you have an opinion or something on your mind does not mean you need to say it. Oh, Lord, help us today. You'll find that there's more unity when you don't say everything that comes to your mind. The Bible tells us to think on those things above, those things that are good, those things that are a blessing. And as we've heard most of our life, if you can't say something good, you ought not say anything at all. That would shut a lot of us up, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would. Becky stopped by Rogers yesterday as we was working, and we was trying to get wood up on the roof, and before I know it, she was gone. She said, do you need anything? She was in her car and talking to us as we was working. And how many of you like me when you're working, you've got this mindset, you're focused on what you're trying to get done? And before I knew it, she was gone. When we took a break, I called her and I said, where did you go to? I didn't want her to be thinking that we was ignoring her. In fact, I'll just be blunt with you this morning. I didn't want her to be upset with me because I didn't stop what I was doing and come to her. when I probably should have, right? She is more important than that roof, right? All you men better say amen. And you women say, that's right, we are. But you see that we can't have what he says in the Word of God, that we cannot have these times that we cause problems in the home, because wherever there's a problem is, he called it a schism in the body, that we should, that the members should have the same care for another. How would you like to be ignored? In fact, how many of you like to be ignored? If you'll notice on church time, I try my best. If I can't come to your pew, I at least will holler at you from across the pew and say, morning or evening, I want you to know that I appreciate every member being present when the body comes together to worship the Lord, because I cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone. But when we come together and we say, Lord, not that I'm not that important, but we've come to lift up the name of the one that is the most important in our life, no matter where we might be at, and that is God himself. And when we do that, God will send the Holy Spirit by that will flood our souls. And you know, there is nothing like feeling love until the Holy Spirit comes by. And then when you look at somebody, you won't see their faults or their failures, but you'll see the success that they are in Jesus Christ today. And I'm thankful, Ron Ball, that I might be a failure at a lot of things, but when God looks at me, he says that is part of the body of Christ. He may look small and insignificant, but he is mine, and he is as much needed in the body as anybody else is. We might not be what some say we ought to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be either. Amen. See, the home is important because our children are being raised without all the members being present. And it's starting, in fact, it has showed its consequences. We got boys acting like girls, and girls acting like boys, because they was raised, the most of them, in a single family or single parent home. Get quiet on Sunday morning, because y'all don't know where God's going to take me. But it's true. You want your boys to act like boys, they need to be raised around men. You want your girls to act like ladies, they need to be raised around some lady figures in the home. Then we wonder why we got so many that's messed up. They're messed up because over 50% of the homes in America are being raised by a single parent. You say, but Roger, the divorce rate's down. That's because they're not marrying anymore. Oh, I might get through this message in one part. See, what we've done, we've allowed the government and the devil to separate the family. The members are cast aside. They say that one can raise boys and girls just as good as both of them can. I say the devil is a liar and the truth is not in him. In fact, I don't know how some of these single parents are making it by themselves. And I know today, church, there are some that are raising them by themselves, not because it's their fault, but somebody else didn't want to be part of the family that God had put them in. Amen. I'll go even further. God put you together. The devil put you apart. And then you want to blame God. You cannot blame God for what the devil has done. In fact, the devil can't do anything that you don't allow him to do. Oh. Every member is important in the family. Everyone has their job to do. I often say if I could go back, I'd make some changes in raising of our kids. They'd have more chores to do. Amen? So I wouldn't have to do so much. Or Becky. But we're trying to get the grandkids taught better than we did the kids. That's true. In the church today, you are no more insignificant than I am. People say, "But I don't sing." Yes, you do. There's times you sing, whether it be up here or from your heart. Maybe you're in the car, or maybe you're like Reese or Zoe when you're in the shower and you're singing. People say, "Well, I don't sing that good." God's not asking you to perform something that's like somebody else does. God's asking you to do your part for the body. If you got a song, you ought to sing it. You got a testimony, you ought to tell it. And if you got a praise report, as we preached on Wednesday night, folks, we need to share how good God has been to us. Has He blessed you this week? I've had over 3 prayers answered this week. Amen. Anybody have more than 3? I feel like a rock star today. Because God has blessed us so richly. Things that we're out of our control. But you know, God looks at us and says, "That's one of the members. And it's hurting." We've got members here today that are hurting. Some of you because of physical pain that you have. Some of you, even worse than that, is because of what's going on in your mind. What would happen if one of my members would be called out before they get saved? What would happen to them? And what would happen to me? What would happen to our home if mom or dad, one was called home to be at the Lord? We have all kinds of things that we worry about. But God has told us like this in His Word. God put us together for a season, for a time. There'll come a time of separation. But when it comes my time of separation to my family, I say, "Don't you worry about me. I'm trading this old corrupt world for a brand new city built by God where we'll sing and shout and praise God for all eternity." And all the members will be there. Oh, they won't have walking sticks anymore. They won't have somebody to lead them. They won't have a vision that is blurred or inability to speak. But everybody will be perfect in heaven. And let me put this in. You ought to see me in my perfection. Amen. You can't see it now. In fact, this morning I thought, the further I get away from a mirror, the better I look. Ain't that the truth? For you also now, come on. Closer I get, Sharon, it's like, "Oh, time has not been good." But while I'm here, I want my members to work together, my whole body, and our whole church. You say, you didn't say your church. This is not my church. This is God's church. I'm a member of it. You're a member of it. How many of you are hurting this morning? Raise your hands in the house of God. You know what He says? If one part of the church is hurting, we all ought to hurt. But we ought to not take it so to the extreme that we become down and out. Instead of that, what we ought to do is somebody ought to start singing a song. Somebody ought to start testifying and telling how good God has been to them. And it would lift the other members up to a place where they say, "Yes, it's been a hard week. It's been tough. But with the help of God, I've made it through. And I'm not going to stop now." Life is full of members. In fact, it takes a village. It takes all of us working together. Just like at home and at work. Every one of us willing to pitch in. I'll say this about Vi and my mom. When we was together, they'd get in the kitchen and began to cook. It didn't matter which one was stirring the pot and which one was putting the next kettle on. They'd get done and they'd both saddle up to the dishwasher. We didn't have one that you put them in. They'd get up at the sink and began to wash the dishes. They worked in unity. Anybody else have experiences like that in your life? And you know what it did? It showed us as kids growing up the roles that were in the household. And how that even though you may not be blood related, there is some relationships that are deeper than blood. And church, we are the body of Christ. We all are of the same bloodline. Amen. I might have, I don't even know what type of blood I've got. It might be B or B plus or A plus or O. Or I might have that negative stuff. Sometimes I do. But I have got the blood of Emmanuel in my heart and my soul. We all are of the same family. Don't you love your family this morning? Amen. 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 You know what? I look at my family and my natural family, I say, I know they got faults, they got failures, they've made their share of mistakes, but I still love them with all of my heart. If one of our children was to walk in this house this morning that's been away from God and been out and done all kinds of crazy things in this world, you know what I would do? I would step aside and come down in the aisleway and meet them there and say, I have messed up also. There's not a one of us that has not messed up. And we would welcome them back in with open arms and say, we've missed you, member. Thank God he's brought you back in. People say, you would forgive them that quickly? God forgives them. We have to forgive them. And we don't have to. We ought to want to. Let me close. One of us cannot do without the other. In every aspect of our life. I tell you the truth. I'm thankful for Becky because in many times in our life, she's done more than I have. She's helped more than I have. She's hauled the kids everywhere while I was working at the shop. And you know, she probably said, you know, you work at the shop, I'd rather you be there than me. Right? We all have our roles, our responsibilities. But I could not look at her and say, I'm more important than you are. I'm more needed than you are. In fact, if our kids have got anything to brag on, and they're raising, it's not me as much as it is her. Men, right? You men being quiet on me on Sunday morning. And in the church, every one of us, did you know the greeter? When before COVID, we'd had the greeter roll out there. Did you know they can determine the service before the service even starts? If they're short with somebody, right? You come in here and somebody treats you like a redheaded stepchild, there it goes. You come in here and somebody says something and you take it the wrong way. There it goes. You say, you want me to be fake? No, I want you to be real based upon what God has done for you. If you can't think on things good and above, things that are good and pleasant, then first thing you ought to do is come to an altar, get right with God, then you'll be right with everybody else in the house of God. And you say, Roger, why do you preach like this for? Because I have no choice but to give what God lays up on my heart. No choice. I want you to look at least 3 to 5 people and tell them you're important. Go on. You can stand up. Yeah, stand up. Every one of you is important. Yes. One of us can't do it without all of us. And when we all do our part, God said He would do His part. And when God does His part, we all are blessed. Amen? While Robin Sharon gets us a song of invitation, there might be someone here this morning that the devil has lied to you and you're thinking that you can take life on by yourself. You made it this far. You don't need anybody else. You may not need one of us as much as you need God right now in your life. I think back on every bad decision I've made, and every bad decision I've made was because I did it without God. I did it without God. And I today see so many decisions that are being made, and I hear them and I say, if only they had God at the head of that home, that life, things would be so much different. You've told everybody else how important they are, and some of them have told you how important you are. While they sing a song of invitation, why don't we tell God how important He is? Not just in the church, but in our life, every day. I don't know where I'd be. Probably some of these hell holes that the devil's got. It's where I would have ended up had not God come into my life. I shared with them on Wednesday night, and I'll share this and we'll sing. You mentioned sin. And it runs through my family. It runs through my family, Sister Vi. I've got uncles and had uncles that gone to be the Lord that said they were saved and then went back to the world and they were drunkards. Some that were drug abusers. Many that were divorced over and over. Many of them that there's some in my family and Becky's also that the devil has led them down that road to homosexuality and lesbianism. Some of them today that wouldn't tell you the truth that their life depended upon it. You say, Roger, sounds like your family is mixed up, messed up. You know why it's that way? Because they took God out of their life. Folks, I'm preaching to you from my heart this morning. God can take a life that is messed up and put it all back together again. Hallelujah. God can take a life that is even teetering on suicide and give you your purpose for being here. And we all have a purpose. Go back and read in Romans. There's some of us here that would be preachers, some for teachers, some that would prophesy if we need to explain, to expound upon the Word of God. In fact, if you go up from our reading this morning, it'll tell you that we all have different gifts from God. And our gifts are only good if we use them. See, sometimes, and I'm trying to find a closing point, sometimes people will give me something, and I'll put it aside, and I won't use it because I don't want to tear it up. Becky's just the opposite. You give her something, she's going to use it. That's what you gave it to her for, right? We today ought to appreciate and love, honor, respect, and take care of the members of this church, of this body, of the body of Christ, and those in our home. And help those that are hurting today. You say, how can I help them? By bringing them to the Lord in prayer. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Follow your heart today. Open wide. Every time I find myself getting irritable, frustrated, angry, upset, mad, whatever, you know, else you, however else you want, aggressive, I know that it's time for me to talk to God, because he would not want one of his members behaving uncomely. Amen. And if I've ever said anything outside of the Word of God to hurt your feelings, I apologize for it. I do. I try to be a person of limited speech until I get up here and I can't shut up. But that's God. That's not me. Becky will tell you, we've gone on trips before, drive 10 hours and not say a word. Yeah, that's me. Now, if you put her and Tara in the car together, good Lord have mercy, you ain't going to get time to say a word. Amen? And some of y'all's just as bad, I'm sure. But you know, all of us are different. But yet, all of our differences is why God... You ever wonder why God put you in Mount Carmel? All of our differences is why God put us here. He's blended us together. And he wants to do the same for you. He wants to do the same for your life. So, one last verse. Whatever God has put on your heart right now, don't ask anybody else. Whatever he's put on your heart right now, that's what you ought to do while they sing.
Somebody else is coming.
what you'd like to do, tell God. Follow your heart today. There's folks that need to move this morning. God won't make you. But you know what you need to do today. Anybody else? Amen. Sometimes we just need to go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't consult you. I'm sorry that I didn't come to you first. Now I've made a mess of it. Can you help me fix it? And you know, as a parent, has any of y'all's kids ever come to you and said, Dad, I made a mess of it? Mom, I made a mess of it. Now, can you help me fix it? It might be something small. It might be something big. Brandon, this morning, I got to looking, and there was a note on our range. And he wrote on there, I opened up the cabinet door, and the lid fell out, and it broke your stove. I'm sorry. Now, it was an accident. I can't get mad at him over an accident. That's the second time that stove has been broke. We replaced it already once. How would you like to wake up Sunday morning? And the devil's already been in your house. Huh? You say, what are you going to do? I'll have to replace it. But we're going to have to save some money. Because they're not cheap. You can look at it however you want to. I look at it and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the Lord. Except I've got in the book of Rogerisms, it's the Lord giveth and the devil taketh away. Blessed be the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on Sunday night? Amen. I feel like I can still preach on it. My heart is just so full. I owe so much to God.
Amen.
So much. And I'm just embarrassed that I let him down and failed him. But I'm thankful that when I do, I feel his arms come around me and say, you're still my child. You're still a member. And I know you're hurt. God will make it better.
Yeah.
He'll make it better. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the house. God bless you. Have a great week. Come out Wednesday night. Our Wednesday night crowd has been way down. Way down. I know COVID has got so many people perplexed. But wear your mask. Come out and be with us at 6:30. On Wednesday night. Would you do that? Have a great week. We love each and every one of you. And thankful that you're a member of this body.